Praise God. Let's praise Him, saints. I feel God's presence here today. Oh, hallelujah. He's worthy of our praises today.
Thank you.
Blessed be the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Oh, God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, blessed Savior, blessed Savior. I love you, Lord. Oh, God, I love you today. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, help us, oh, God. Here today, minister to our needs, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Blessed be the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Make room for the King of Glory. Open and let Him in. He's forgiven our transgressions and freed us from our sins. Every eye shall see His glory, and with Him we shall reign. The King of Glory is coming, and Jesus is His name. And let Him in. He's forgiven our transgressions and freed us from our sins. Every eye shall see His glory, and with Him we shall reign. For the King of Glory is coming, and Jesus is His name. Make room for the King of Glory. Open and let Him in. He's forgiven and cleansed us from all sin. Every eye shall see His glory, and with Him we shall reign. For the King of Glory is coming, and Jesus is His name. Make room for the King of Glory. Open and let Him in. He's forgiven our transgressions and cleansed us from our sin. Open and let Him in. He's forgiven our transgression and cleansed us from our sins. Every eye shall see His glory, and with Him we shall reign. For the King of Glory is coming, and Jesus is His name. Make room for the King of Glory. Open and let Him in. He's forgiven our transgression and cleansed us from our sins. Every eye shall see His glory,
and with Him we shall reign.
For the King of Glory is coming, and Jesus is His name. Make room for the King of Glory. Open and let Him in. He's forgiven our transgressions and cleansed us from our sin. Every eye shall see cleansed us from our sin. Every eye shall see His
He's the type of God that just not going to barge in our lives unless we invite him, unless we make room for him. And eventually, like the first song was that, he's got my world. And that's what, that sounds good in song, but even God being, if he's got my world, like if there's a scripture, now I don't think it's a scripture, but it's a saying that said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And whatever I treasure, then, if it's the things of God, if it's, he wants me to treasure his commandments, his statutes, this life that he's given me in the spiritual, then I know if I do that, then my heart will be there. And that's what I'm trying to do is I'm finding out that it's not overnight. It's going to take a endeavor. And it seems like it's taking my lifetime, but I don't think it has to. I know Brother Smith was talking this morning about the young men, the disciples that followed Jesus. They weren't old men. They were young people. Jesus himself was young, 30 years old when he started ministry. So it doesn't take a lifetime. It may just depend on where you got on board, where in life you got on board. You might have got on board late in life, that's okay. But it's better if you get on board when you're young, because when you're young, I was one day I was out looking at some old school notes that I had taken. I thought, and I was a lot younger, and I took all these notes, and I was thinking, man, did I do that? I said, yeah, I wouldn't want to do that today, but I still do take notes. Don't get me wrong, but I just remember the effort that I put forth and this work that I was doing, and I remember, I'm sure I was a lot younger then, but that's the same way it is with God. When you're younger, you got the energy, you got the resources naturally to do that, and that's why God wants you while you're young. Serve the God in the days of your youth. Don't wait till you get old as me to try to serve him. I mean, if that's what happened to you, then that's okay. But while you're young, serve God. You got your abilities and in the natural. And it takes we have to balance the natural with the spiritual. There's a natural side there, like Brother Smith was telling us Wednesday night. There are things that we can do. We can't make ourselves perfect. But there are things that we can do. God expects us to do. This is up to me. I was reading what it's talking about, adding, subtracting in your life. You can add. It said put off the old man, put on the new man. So there are things that, God's not going to do all of that. That's going to be up to us. It's how we apply ourselves, to the things of God, the things that we get to hear, That's a scripture, okay. Yeah, for where your treasure, there will your heart be also. And I was thinking, I was reading some old notes. It's not real old, 1997, 1998. Brother Leniger, a lot of it was Brother Leniger, but some of it was some meeting that I attended, but it was a notebook that had written from the, fill the whole book up with notes. And then I turned it over and then started the other side. 2 years of notes that I had taken. And I was thinking, even the I don't know what you call it, Brother Smith, but when you was talking about faith and honor, humility, and the fear of God, I remember Brother Leniger was talking on those things. He called that the secret place in God. And it's the same thing, I was just thinking about some of these thoughts. He'd come at it from one angle, then he'd talk about the same thing, but he would call it something different. But he's talking about the same thing. You know, how do we have to get these? And I was thinking, you know, he's drilling us with these thoughts. Brother Smith is drilling us with these ideas and how to serve God better and how to get God in our life. You know, I was thinking, I read through that. It took me a while to read over those notes, but it was really interesting. Just because some of the men that I took notes on are not even living in today, but I just found it very interesting. Because I wrote those, you know, 1997, 1998, and how much of that has lodged in my heart is my thought was about it. I can't say, you know, these are somebody else, but I wrote it. I heard it, you know, with my ears, and I wrote them down, but I was concerned about how much of that I have gotten in my life. I've gotten some of it, but I'm sure I haven't retained all of it. But that's what I want. I want, just like these songs we're singing about God, I want, you know, God, I want my world to be in his hand. I want to live to where my life would be affected. And we went, Brother Smith, over the Memorial Day weekend to Des Moines, Iowa, to that meeting up there. And it was good gathering of brethren from different groups. I could see that they're coming together. You know, in that setting, in that area, I could still see it coming together of the groups. And good thoughts, very good things were said, and representation and everything. Just that I'm seeing that it's going to take everything. You know, that's why, you know, it's going to take all that I have. You know, that's what God, he want our all. You know, like what's the story about the chicken and the hogs walking along the street, and they was thinking about breakfast. You know, for the chicken, it's not, you know, wasn't a big deal for the chicken to, you know, lay some egg, but for the hog, it was going to be a total commitment. And that's the way God wants. You know, I'm finding that out. I'm finding that out in life. It's God wants, he wants my all. You know, I mean, he really does. I mean, sometimes I'm willing to give my all, and sometimes I'm not. But that's what he wants. You know, he don't want, we were talking, 100% last weekend? You know, 99.5 won't do? It won't do. I'm just, I know that. But anyway, I have to be reminded. So I'm thankful today we're here. We're gathered in God's house. We're here to worship the Lord and lift his name up and worship and praise. And we got visitors. Of course, Sister, we got Sister Shay. She was that 3 times you've been here? Good to see you. And
what was that?
And her friend, Courtney. Friend, yes. It's your sister, natural sister. Good to have you, friend. Then you got another friend with y'all today. Good to have him. So, Uncle, all right. Family affair, okay? All right. And then on the other side, we got Kimberly Wesley and your children. Okay, good to have you here today. God bless you.
Kelly, that's, I believe it's Ayana.
Ayana, okay.
And Israel, raise your hand, Israel.
Israel.
There he is.
Israel.
And then Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. All right. Yeah. Y'all got a good start, okay? Got the names. All right. So it's good to be among God's people. I'm just thrilled. I mean, to be counted among God's people. You know, God has got a people, and sometimes it may be hard to discern in the earth who God's people are, you know. If you was back there in the early church, back in the old days, of course, you'd be Gentiles, so you wouldn't really be. But, you know, Gentiles didn't get left out. They just God didn't start with them. That's the thing. He just didn't start. He started with Israel. But they didn't get, if they wanted to serve God, they could do it. If they met God's people back in that day, you can read about it all through the Old Testament. Anybody that, you can, Ruth, you can read about it. If she felt that she wanted to follow Naomi, that's what she did. And she was included. She was included in the lineage of God, of the righteous. So anyway, no matter, you know, if you'd have been back there, you'd have to, God would have had to do something to you, for you, to touch your eyes to be able to recognize God's people. And that's the same way it is this day. You know, God will have to do something for you to recognize. You know, you have to recognize that, you know, God has a people. You know, we're in a world that's, even this country, sown down with Christianity, supposedly, you know, but God has a people in the midst of a country that's sown with Christianity, that, you know, got churches, they say, on every corner, churches. I was listening to somebody the other day talking about all of the diversities of religion, you know. And they say that's a reproach, you know. You know, everybody's saying they're serving God, but they're divided, you know. But God has a people even in this divided world, is what I'm saying. But somehow God has to do something for you. He has to touch your eyes. And what Brother Leonard was saying, this song, touch my eyes, Lord, that I might see, you know, what you're doing. And touch my ears where I can hear. You know, God has to do that. He can do it, though. He can touch your eyes that you can see. And he can touch your ears to where you can hear. You know, that's what we have to do. God does that. He does that for people. You know, when you open your heart up to the Lord, he can do that. You know, he can touch your eyes. He can touch your ears that you can hear. And that's what I want. I want to hear what the Lord is saying. You know, hear what the Lord is saying to the church. You know, he that has ears, let him hear what the Lord is saying. You know, when God is talking, that's what I want to do. I want to hear when God is talking. You know, when God is talking to us, and he talks to us. Yeah, I on the old day they was talking about Brother Sider that started this group of people and how that, you know, they have a 10-day meeting and it may be a lot of words, a lot of messages that went forth. But eventually, you know, those that stuck around to hear, God spoke to them. And sometimes, you know, you have to wait on the Lord. Sometimes you have to be patient. But God will talk. Believe me, God will speak. And that you have to be patient with him. They wait on him. You know, he don't do everything in the time frame that I like to see him do it. But he will just, you know, be patient. Be patient with the Lord. He'll talk. So I'm thankful today to be among God's people, to be in the house of God, and to be able to hear what the Lord is saying. So it's good to be here. We're going to pray. And today, a lot of needs. I was just looking at Brother Steve Wallace was here for a while. Came up for prayer. I see Sister Ann Thompson was up for prayer. I know, you know, her mom she had been requesting prayer. I don't know, you know, her situation, but I know she needs, you know, we all. I see Grandma Smith here. She's here today, and Brother Smith been requesting prayer for you, and I'm glad to see you. And, you know, just remember, just different ones. And Sister Fisher. Who's that? Sister Wilkins. Sister Wilkins, okay. Walking. Okay. All right. Remember Sister Wilkins. Sister Abraham called for prayer. Sister Smith. Okay. Jamilkin. Those are Green's daughter. Okay. Milky? Jamilkin. Okay. All right. Sister Brooklyn. All right. Remember Sean. Sister Donna. Okay. Special folks. All right. Sister Elsie. Your family. All right. Sister Shay. I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. Remember that request. Sister Shay. Okay. Okay, remember that today. any of them. Brother Doc, remember him, spitting up blood. So remember, pray for him. I have a sister also in the ICU down in Florida that was spitting, having a problem with blood. And they repaired some, and they did an upper GI on it yesterday, and she's better, I think, but she's still got some other tests they got to do. And I got a niece that's in the Tulsa Hospital ICU, and she's better too. So anyway, let's, you know, there's needs. Sister Fisher again. Okay, Tulsa as well. Barbie Hall. That's what we remember. Okay, all right. Remember that need today. Yes, Sister Crow's sister. I know. Remember, put Sister Crow's sister. Pray for her. All right.
Sister Jody.
Sister Jody. I'm sorry.
Yeah, she's sick.
Oh, she's sick today. Okay.
And then also announced that adult choir is canceled.
Okay. Adult choir. It's not going to be a choir practice today.
Yeah, Brother and Sister McGowan.
Brother Wayne?
Yeah, Brother Wayne's sister Andrew.
Yeah, they, Will Smith, they're suffering, right? On a cruise, but anyway, remember them though. They got to come home. So pray for them. Anytime it involves flying for me, I don't handle that very well. But anyway, sometimes you have to do that. Okay. What else we got? Maybe the ushers come up and we'll do an offering. And but I feel like Brother Smith said, it's been, I feel the Spirit of God assisting us here today in this service. And that's what we want. We want God's assistance. You know, like I said, that in some scriptures in the Bible, it talks about the Israelites. I don't remember, was it David or whoever saying that, you know, God, if you don't go with us, we don't want to go. You know, and that's where it is. If God's not with us, you know, we're wasting our time. So we don't want to do that. We want to make the best of our time and make it more beneficial, more effective.
Where's Sister Amy at?
Sister Amy?
Sister Amy, come sing.
Yes. Did we pray up there? Didn't pray. Hey. Thank you, brother. While Sister Amy's getting that song together, like, let's all stand and take the, remember the needs that we mentioned already. Let's take them all to the Lord. Pray that God will touch his people. Father in heaven, thank you this day. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to come before you. Pray that you help our needs, Lord. Help your people. Lord, help Sister Wilkins. Each one, Lord. Sister Crow's sister, Lord, we pray that you touch her. The Wallace. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Help each one. Lord, help each need. Lord, help us at our heart when we reach out to you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Sister Jody, help her today. Glory, 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 glory. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Blessed be your name, God.
tempter not, but somehow I found the strength to tell him no. What I once called pleasures, I just stood and watched them go. morning love. But now the sun is shining bright. I'm safe without one home. There's one answer. I am sheltered, safe within your home. So thank you, Lord, for holding me.
Whether you know it or not, he is holding you one way or the other. Here's a pair of sunglasses that was found under the refrigerator in the kitchen. So they're kind of a buff color or goldish color on the inside. Somebody knows who they belong to. They'll be up here on the pulpit. And I really appreciate our visitors today. Sister Wesley, it's sure good to have you and your family. And I could tell that you are not, it's not foreign. The Spirit of God's not foreign to you, and I was glad to see the you're worshiping with us. That's what we want. We want to open our hearts and make room for all of God's people. Where you're wondering what our articles of faith is, it's right here, this Bible. We hadn't got them all interpreted yet exactly. There's some things in there that we don't fully understand, but we still believe it. And I really appreciate Sister Shay, and I think it's Francisco. How do you say it? Francisco. That's it. But she said I could call her friend. I like that better. It's just easier. I don't know if I like the name better, but it's easier to say. So I'm sticking with friend. And I feel something for these two girls. And thank the Lord's hands on their life. So we hope you'll consider making this your church home. You know, every saint of God needs a local church to be a member of. Because you have to get in somewhere and become a part of a church family to really get a full understanding of what God's doing. You know, for God to be able to work, if you go here and there, you know, there's no there's no organization or God can't, you know, you hear something here and hear something over there and you can't put it all together. But when you're in one place, well, the Lord will give you shepherds, a shepherd or shepherds, and a family. And we have to learn how to work in God's order and be a part of His family. And we need one another. I need you and you need me. We have to learn, you know, that's the most important thing is that, you know, a lot of people, I don't know about you, but I have felt a few times that if I could just get off by myself, Brother Henry, I thought if I could just get off somewhere in the mountains in a cabin by myself, that I could be all right, because people bug me. You know, I don't mean I don't like people, but I'm just mean that's where my trouble is. But did you know that that's really where you find out the problem with you? Is learning how to harmonize your life with other people. They'll bring out the best in you or the worst in you. I tell the story every once in a while about Brother Clyde Patton down in Houston, Texas. He's dead now, but he was a great man of God, pastored the Houston church for many years. And one time he had a little woman come up to me and she said, I'm telling you, Brother Patton, my husband, she said, he just infuriates me sometimes. She said, he can make me so mad. He said, honey, he's not making you mad. Mad's already in there. It's already down in there. He's just helping you get it to surface. I'll let that soak in for a minute. You know, and that's the way we all are. You have to learn how to live in this world and have the righteousness of God working in you no matter what situation you're in. And if you don't go through situations, there's no experience. In fact, let me give you a scripture in Romans, the 5th chapter. It'll just came to my mind, but it goes in right along with what I'm saying. In Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, faith is what justifies you. If you've got faith in God and you believe in Him, you'll obey Him, and that's what makes you just before God. That's how God imputes righteousness to you. You're not righteous, but He counts you righteous until He can work some things out of your life. God just has to, He got to get you in His kingdom and become a part of His family, and then He has to transform you by the renewing of your mind, the Bible says. God's got to go to work on your mind, because your mind has picked up all of the ungodly, fleshly, carnal things in this world, and God's got to get you transformed, get that out of you, and get you to thinking like He thinks in a righteous, spiritual way. And And you'll need to be born again of his nature, because your mind won't go together with your nature, because you have a corrupt nature. It's a fallen condition. But when you're born of God's nature, and when you can get your mind to line up with that, you'll become like him. And so what justifies your faith? To start off with, you have to have faith that God is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so God, you get to him by faith. Faith that comes by hearing, the Bible says, and hearing by the word of God. So it takes you hearing, not just somebody reading the Bible, but it takes the anointed. The Spirit of God has got to touch the Word of God when it touches you. God's got to touch you. His Spirit has to touch you. He's got to deal with you. God has to, His Spirit, the Word of God, it killeth, but the Spirit maketh alive. You, the Word of God, it won't do anything for you unless the Spirit of God quickens. It's like in the Bible, the Word of God is symbolic in the tabernacle or the temple. It's oil. There's a candlestick in the holy place. It has seven lights, seven candles. Everybody seen a Jewish candlestick? There's three arms on each side, and out the stem of the top makes the seventh. Each one of them has a little bowl, and it's full of olive oil, and it's lit. When it's lit, there's seven lights. That's symbolic of the seven spirits of God. Seven's the number of perfection. It's the perfect understanding of the Word of God. But see, it's light. And you know, nobody, the scientists of this world still hadn't figured out how to make light. They know what light is. They know what they can put things together like to make a light bulb, but they don't know what makes it light, make a light. It's like fire. They don't know how to make fire. They know what fire, what ingredients makes a fire, but they don't know what makes that fire be a fire. When oil, you see, when you strike a match to oil, it makes light. It makes fire, and it's light. And so the knowledge, oil in the Bible's knowledge of the Word of God. But until it's quickened by the Spirit of God, it doesn't become understanding, which that's what light is. So, faith comes by hearing. That's when a light goes off. The Spirit of God touches you. You hear the Word of God and you believe it. And that, you say, I see God's real. I believe that. I believe what I just heard. Just like if you believe what I'm telling you right now and you never heard it before. That's faith rising up in your heart by the anointed Word of God and understanding coming to you to understand that. And when you believe in Jesus Christ, you've been touched by God to believe that, or the Spirit of God, then you're justified. God counts you just because you're a believer. That's what Abraham did. He believed God, and God counted him righteous for it. But just because you believe in God, it don't really make you righteous. You're just counted righteous. But if you'll stay hooked up to God, he'll make you righteous. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall not set you free, but make you free. See, when your mind begins to change and you start thinking like God, and you see righteousness, and you do righteousness, and it transforms your mind, and you become, it gets in your character, and you begin to do righteousness. It becomes a part of you. Then you're really righteous. You're not just counted righteous. That part of you is, and so it's a process. God has to work it out in you. So you're justified by faith. We have peace. See, when you've got faith in God, I believe today that he has forgiven me of all my trespasses, all my sin. Yeah, that's a big load off of you. When you know that God has forgiven you, that's what's good about God. because you believe in His saving grace, that He forgives when you ask Him to. He washes all your past sins away, and He'll never bring it up against you in judgment. Now that don't make you, that still don't make you righteous. Because the nature that's in you that made you do those things is still there. But if you'll stay connected to God, He will begin to transform your mind, and He'll give you a new nature. It's called the inner man, and you have to grow up in that. And as you do, you'll develop, and you'll in a new nature, and you'll quit the sinning business. There's people out here today that are connected to this world in such a way, they're not just connected, they're entangled in such a way they cannot get free. They are prisoners of the flesh. They're prisoners of sin. That the corruption of sin has, they got so entangled in it they can't get free from it. That's what happens to drug addicts. That's what happens to the immorality of this life, of carnality. People that are living immorally. It's what happens to alcoholics. They can't get free of it. If something doesn't happen to deliver them, see, and you can play, you young people better listen to me, you can play with this world, and before you know it, there's a saying that says, sin will take you farther than you want to go. And it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. And the price will be greater than you can pay. That's why it takes a Savior to deliver you. And when God touches you and you've got enough faith to believe that He can save you, then you can have peace in your heart knowing that my past sins are all taken care of. Now God, He won't hold those sins against you. No, He won't bring them up again, but He doesn't forget the sinful nature that caused you to commit them. And that's what you have to be delivered of. And it's going to take you humbling and falling on your face before God over and over until you get so connected to God that you get that out of your life. Because you're being forgiven today and go right back into the sinning business. You cannot be eternally saved that way. You know, so you're going to have to get delivered. And so let's just, you know, we've got to be justified. But read verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. See, that faith gives us hope when you hear the plan of salvation. When you understand what God has designed for His eternal purpose, to have a family, an eternal family. When you realize that God, He really isn't playing games. He is God's patient. He's long-suffering. But He will spew you out of His mouth if you play too many games with Him too long. God will finally take His hand off of you. He'll try to find a way to save you again. But He, you know, I can give you an example of that. Jesus gave a parable. He said he told about a man that was a husbandman that come up on an olive tree, a tree that didn't bear any fruit. And the husbandman, the owner said, cut the thing down. But the husbandman said, oh, let me dig around it another year. See, the mercy of God that was in Christ was a mediator that said, let me try to save this. Let me see if I can't get it to bring forth fruit. But he said if it won't bring forth any fruit, it'll have to be hewn down. So, and that's what God did to Israel. God cut Israel down. Only those that responded to Christ and came out and came into the body of Christ, into a new covenant, the rest of them rejected him, and therefore God rejected them. He cut them off. He will graft them back in. God's not through yet, but I'm just showing you, God, there is mercy. Judgment does meet mercy. This thing's not all mercy. God don't just say, you're okay, I'm okay, you can do whatever you want to and be saved. That's not biblical. God wants a righteous people, and he's in the business of saving people. So we have hope, and we're rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. That is, that I rise above this sinful nature, and that I am transformed, and the glory of God takes over my life, and I become like him. I become like Jesus. That's what he wants. He wants us to be after his image. We're to be like Christ. Christ-like. Verse 3 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Also, knowing that the tribulation worketh patience. Now, that's a hard part right there. For you to grow and develop to a place where, brother, you need to be quiet. Let me talk. If you're going to stay in here, you just hold yourself, because you need to just hold steady and let me talk, because you're disrupting the class. He's all right if he'll be quiet. He won't. All right. Well, I want to see him saved is the reason I'm trying to show him some mercy. I know he's homeless, and I know he's an alcoholic, but he needs saved. here, let me go back over that verse. That we glory in tribulation. See, what I said about the Word of God. See, when you hear it, when you hear the Word of God, and you start trying to live it, it's going to bring trials in your life. You go out here and you start trying to live right around the same group that you're hanging around, if you're not a godly person, you are going to get yourself in trouble, because they are going to cause you all kinds of, they're going to come against you. Because you telling them, when you tell them, I've made a new decision, I've made a decision to serve God, you know what they're going to do? They're going to start watching you, and every time you make a mistake, they're going to throw it, oh, I thought you was a Christian. I remember when Brother Dave, he's been saved now a lot of years, but I remember when he first got saved, he smoked, and he's trying to quit, but he had a hard time, and he's still smoking some. And his family knew that he was going to church, and he got saved. And brother, they put the heat on him about that, and he told me, he said, boy, my family just all over me about me smoking. I said, well, tell them this. Tell them, say, look, I'm trying. I'm going to church, and I'm trying, and I'm believing God's going to help me and get my life, get sin out of my life. And I told him, I said, just tell them, just look. You come, since you know it's wrong, and you know I ain't batting 100, you come go with me and you show me how to do it. I said, it'll shut them up. I said, you just tell them, you just come and you set and get your life straightened out, and you be my example and help me, since you know so much about this. I said, they'll call off your case. But I said, I'll tell you something else. They're not going to want much to do with you. You when you come to God, you got to almost get out of the environment you're in and get away from all the ungodly influences that's affecting your life. You've got to get in with the family of God. That's why, you got to get in, you got to make some friends, and you got to say, hold on to me. I'm going to hold on to you. And I promise you, our grip's still going to be tighter than yours to start with, because we know what you're going to go through. But you're going to glory in tribulation, because every time you overcome one of the trials, you're going to see God's power working in your life, and that's going to give you greater hope. And you're going to believe that God, He is, He's able to help me. I'm telling you, I'm not 100% overcome. I've still got a few things. I mean, I'm telling you, my wife has helped me still find a little mad down there. I've helped her find some too along the way. But, so I know I'm not, 100% transformed yet, but I'm going to tell you something. And you may not like me right now, how I am. But I'm going to tell you, if you knew me 40 years ago, you'd say, there's something happened to that boy. I'm telling you, he ain't the same guy he used to be. God's done something for him. I'm telling you, you might not know why I've got a reason to rejoice, but I know why I've got a reason to rejoice today. Because God has worked in something in my life. I know He's helping me. He has helped me. And I've got greater hope today than I've ever had. And so, I'm rejoicing in the hope of the glory. We know not what we shall be, but we know that when He comes, I don't mean when He comes literally. Listen, let me tell you about the coming of the Lord. When He comes literally, it's not going to change you. If Jesus showed up in this room today, it might change you for a little while, but it's not going to change you on the inside. But I'm telling you, here's the coming. Here's how the Lord actually comes. He first comes into your life in a new birth of the Spirit of God being planted in you. It becomes resident. He told His disciples, the Comforter will come, which is the Holy Ghost, and He's been with you, but He shall be in you. And that Spirit of God, that born-again experience, that inner man, when it comes in you, and then God begins to develop. And it begins to work and develop, and you begin to grow, and your mind begins to change in how you think. And God is working and transforming your life, and you're becoming more like Him. In fact, if you read over in the book of Revelations, He is going to put His name in your forehead. That's, the beast system is coming. It's going to write the name in 666, which that's not a number. It's no literal number of the beast. It's a body. The beast system is a religious system, just like it was in the early church. Israel became a beast system, joined up with Rome. That's how they killed Jesus. And that was a body of people. See, every group or movement is made up of a body, soul, and spirit. The body of the group was the organization of religion and civil power. Caesar, Pilate, Herod gave their power to the Jews to rule religion. And that, the body of that civil religious element that ruled in that day was a beast system. And it, the number six is the number of a man. And the body, the organization of it is man-made. It's not God-made. Let me tell you something. The body of Christ is not man-made, it's God-made. God adds to the church daily such as should be saved. God reaches out and touches you. No man shall come to me, Jesus said, except my Father draws him. So God has to deal with you for you to be saved. You can't have faith if God's not dealing with you. But God's looking for people to save. If there's a mind or a soul that God can touch, He can find a way to save them. He'll touch them. He'll reach out to them to save them. And so the body, then the soul, that's the intellect. The intellect of this system that's coming up out here in this world, the beast system, it's man-made too. It's the ideology of religious doctrine that the world is growing more and more accustomed to and watering it down until everything's acceptable. Let me tell you something, saints. We can't fiddle with the Word of God. We can't change it to fit the desires of the flesh. All of it, you know, right now, people, you know, the popular Christian or ideology of Christianity is just you can do whatever you want to do. You can live any way you want to live. You can look like the world, act like the world, smell like the world, do like the world, and you're okay. Nobody judges nobody. But the Word of God doesn't condone that. The Word of God condones holiness. God is, be thou holy, for God is holy. You gotta be holy. Holy means sanctified, separated. You gotta come out from among the sinful ways of the world and become a part of the righteous family of God. And so so these tribulations, when you've got the Word of God in your heart, you just go out of here and you're going to have tribulation because you're just going to run into everything in life and the way you have responded and reacted to it. The Spirit of God's, it's convicting you and asking you to respond in a different way. Brother William Souders, and some of you never heard of him before, but he is one of our forefathers that was a founder of the idea of the body of Christ in the earth. Way back in the early 1900s, he was a reformer. And when he got saved, he was a fisherman. He was a policeman. He carried a pint of whiskey in his pocket, smoked an old pipe, fished on the Ohio River. But he got in a revival, a Pentecostal revival, and got saved. He didn't get the Holy Ghost, but he got saved. But one day out on his boat, something began to happen to him on the inside. I can relate to this because I've had the feeling of it. Something started inside his belly, like something, you know, like little, and it just kept rolling over and it kept getting bigger and bigger until it got all the way up into his throat. And he knew something was going to come out. And he grabbed, and the thing about it was he was a fisherman on the Ohio River, and those guys would go out there when they would find fish, they'd all get together and all them boats would get around where all the fish was and they'd start dropping their nets. And so all of his old cohorts, fishermen, bunch of old ungodly fishermen, was out there. And all them boats was in hearing distance of one. They talked to one another, you know. Said, Brother McPhee. Of course, they didn't call him brother. They just said, John. Said, I got a net full over here. How many did you get in that draw? You know, they talked to each other. Well, he felt this. After he got saved, this started coming up inside of him. And he knew he was going to do something, and he knew it was religious. He knew God was dealing with him. He grabbed his mouth to try to keep it from coming out, but he couldn't stop it. And before long, he started speaking in tongues and had himself a Holy Ghost fit. And he was born again right there on that old boat. And of course, all them old fishermen started saying, poor Will, poor old Will, he's gone crazy with that religion. Of course, he got him in trouble. Tribulations hit him. They started, you know, jabbing him and running him down. Brother Daniels, you remember when you got saved? Yeah, it just automatically comes. But then that tribulation works patience. You have to learn how to wait on God to begin to work in your life. You know, in other words, you can't just make up your mind, I'm going to be 100%. I ain't never going to sin another sin. I mean, that's a good idea. It's a good thought. But you can't do that until God's worked something in you. And the Lord, you know, finally puts something in your character and He takes things away from you. One of the songs we said today, we sang, said something about that the things that I did or used to do, you know, just they slowly went away or something. No. I don't remember, but it's in one of the songs that talked about the things. I think it was an Amy song. That the things that I used to be pleasure to me. What I once called pleasures, I watched slip away, watched them go. See, because God changes you. It's just like me. I know what it's like to quit smoking. I used to love to smoke. I just enjoyed it. I grew up from a little boy, and every man around my family smoked. I started out smoking grapevines. You know, we'd go hunting, and they wouldn't give me a cigarette, so I'd smoke a grapevine. You ain't never smoked one, but don't do it. It ain't good. But I thought, you know, men were supposed to smoke. Well, I smoked. And I thought, I'd never give that up, Brother John. I thought, that's so hard for me to give up. But I'm going to tell you right now, I don't even ever think about cigarettes. I mean, that's the farthest thing from my mind. God delivered me from that so many years ago. But there was a time that I couldn't not think about it. It just was, it's just part of my life. That habit had me. And I'm going to tell you something. God's able to deliver the things that you pick up in this world that you think is pleasure. He'll just cause them to go. Yeah. He'll put something else that's more pleasure. Let me tell you something. Serving God, don't ever get to thinking serving God's hard. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and it's light. Let me tell you what's hard. Is yoking up in this world and carrying the burden of sin around and getting in all the entanglement of sin. You know, it's got you all bound. But when you get God working in your life and you get free from all of that and you got peace, you lay down at night and you go to sleep and you got peace in your soul. His yoke is easy. Don't let anybody to tell you it's not. Oh, it is hard. It may be a little bit hard at first to get out of all the entanglement for God to get you out of it. You'll go through some suffering to get out of it. Once you get free of it, my God, you know, it's a great thing. And the patience that this works in your life to learn how to let God work and transforming and changing you. And you finally begin to learn how God works. You know, it's part of learning how to really make Him the Lord of your life, where you learn there's certain things in life that you are wanting or, you know, you have desires of, and you're not sure if it's God's will. And when you get to a place where you've served God long enough that you know how to just wait on Him to open doors for you, wait on Him to close doors. Wait on God to direct your steps. After a while, you'll begin to see how God works and you'll let Him work and you'll just begin to, your steps will just be ordered of the Lord. The steps of a good man or woman are ordered of the Lord. You have to have patience to learn how to do that. Be led of God's Spirit. And then it says patience. Experience. You have to experience this divine nature and how it works and how
God's Spirit begins to direct your life, it takes experience in that. So it's a process. Oh, let me tell you something, saints. It's a glorious process. What you will learn, what you learn. Let me tell you something. What's in here, you can't, it's amazing. In the kingdom of God, it's amazing what goes on in here. We got a little bit of everything in here. Yeah, we got sin. Brother Henry brought up a scripture today where some of God's people ate their own baby. Conditions got so bad. They got so far away from God. They were still God's children. See, we got problems in here. Let me tell you something. We got them. Yeah, and the more people come, more everybody comes in here got problems. Yeah. They got family full of sin. Family connected to everything you can imagine. We have to deal with that. We have to wait on God to help us deal with it. We've got to pray and petition God to help us with all the situations of every life that He's added to the church. But we can't. We're powerless without His help. But He is the great physician. He is the deliverer. He is the shield and the buckler. Hallelujah. He is our present help in the time of need. He will help you. He will deliver. His mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. You just have to stay. Go through whatever you're going through, and then you even have to bear whatever the rest of us is going through. There's trouble in the family of God, but let me tell you something. We're working on it. There's trouble out here everywhere, but they're not working on it. They're sweeping it under the rug. They don't want anybody to know. And here we just say, here I am again. Here I am. We all know you. If you come in here and you stay long enough, we're going to know you. Thing is, you're going to know us too. You're going to say, there's old brother so-and-so. He's goofy as a balloon. There's sister so-and-so. She's a saint if there ever was one. She is my example. She's my hero. He's my hero. There's brother so-and-so. He's a little funny. Yeah, but he's changing. If you was here when he first came, you'd say, he's a little funny, but he was a lot funny. But God is working in his life. Hallelujah. That's the difference. If you'll stay in here, just remember the little stone in Daniel 2 that hit the image. The Bible said it was cut out of a mountain. It's a mountain of religion. It's what mountains represent in the Bible. Religion. But there was a mountain. There was a little stone hewed out of the mountain without hands. No man. No man got that out of a mountain. It wasn't man's hands that did it. But God got a little stone. That's His church. And that little stone was hewed at the foot of the image, and it busted it into pieces. That's God. God is going to win in the end of this. And that little stone, it began to roll. And it began to gather. And eventually it's going to fill up the whole earth. Finally, God's kingdom. There ain't going to be nothing but God's kingdom in the end. It's going to overcome the wickedness of this world. And so you may come in here and it may just be a little stone. But you just stay. And it'll just keep gathering. You'll expand with it. You'll get greater. God will make you greater. And you'll be what God intended for you to be and what He designed for you to be. In the beginning, God knew. He predestined in the beginning that there would be somebody that would listen to Him and that would follow Him and would do His will. And finally, He'll accomplish what He set out to do. Look at His patience. Look at the thousands of years of His patience till He's waited on us to arrive. I said in Bible study,
I'm convinced of this. I would like to talk on it, but I don't have time today. I'm already out of time. I'm already working on borrowed time. If you keep coming, I'll give some of it back to you sometime. But I said, God is going to raise up some young people in the end of this world. They will get such a vision of this. There's going to be little kids like Jesus when he was 12 years old that he said, I must be about my Father's business. And by the time he was 33 and a half, he finished the work. And there was a y'all of young men with him that God had called and used. And there's going to be a lot of young people. There's going to be some young people. God's going to touch them and use them in this generation. That when by the time they're 30 years old, they'll have accomplished all that God wanted them to accomplish. That God is going to touch some young people to touch this world. Some of us older ones are too old for God to use in that measure, but I'm going to tell you something. He's going to do a great work, and he's going to cut it short in righteousness. You don't have to experience everything in this world. You don't have to fiddle around and play around with God's calling on your life. You can let God touch you in such a significant way that he can transform your life in a very short period of time and use you as a deliverer. The Bible said shepherds that will rise up on the Mount Zion. God's going to have deliverers. And it's going to take strength. I'm telling you, God's able. He's more than able. He's working, and he's getting conditions just right. I'd like to have talked on that today, but I'm using the preliminary just to lay out a little foundation. Maybe I'll get on it later. I'd like to show you what's going to happen in the next 10 or 20 years in this world, where we're at in God's timetable, what's taking place in the United States of America, and what's going to happen in the rest of the world in this generation, before this generation closes. We're going to already be, the mark of the beast will be set up. There's too many scriptures. I know where we're at in God's time frame. And so, anyway, we got to work on all that because you've got to know it. Hallelujah. Let me tell you right now, just keep letting God touch you, letting give you more. See, your faith has to grow. You have to finally get to a place where you, the fullness of God. You believe in the whole counsel of God. You've got a complete understanding of what God is doing. Don't you know in the early church when Paul said to those elders at Ephesus, when he said, I have not failed to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Let me tell you something, saints. We're getting there. And I have confidence and faith that all the counsel of God is going to be delivered down here in the end of this Gentile world in the body of Christ. He is going to gather his people together in one. And they are going to accomplish what he's called them to do. There's another church coming up on the scene just like the early church. Hallelujah. I want to be a part of it. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. In the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, you can see Jesus riding on a white horse. And they that are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. And they were all on white horses. Those are churches. Horses in prophecy are churches. White horses are righteous churches. There's such a thing as a black horse and a red horse and a pale horse. There's some unrighteous churches. There's some churches that are full of sin. They're too full of the world. God can't use them. But God's going to gather his people together. And there's going to be one body, one faith, one baptism, one spirit, one Lord. and one Father who is above all and in you all and through you all. I'm looking for the through you all. I believe we've got God in us, but we need to get Him flowing through us, touching others. See, most Christians are ashamed of God. They don't live their open life before this world. They're not willing to, you know, to praise Him in front of whoever. They're not willing to live righteous no matter who sees it. See, but God's going to get in some people so strong that He's going to get through them and begin to touch this world. There's going to be some men like the early church. When they walked by their shadows, there were people that God was flowing through them in such a way that their shadows would heal sick people. People would come and just lay down, hope that their shadow would touch them. When those men walked by and their shadows touched people, some people crippled, lame, blind. They jumped up, ran, seen. They shouted, rejoiced. That world found out about it. And it began to change the world. People began to say, come see. Come see what God is doing. I'm telling you, saints, I want this church to be a church like that. I want us to get so much of God in us that He's flowing through us in such a way that it's touching people everywhere that you go. Everybody say, here am I. Now say, send me, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Use me. Blessed Lamb of God. All right. I know I talked a little bit over, but I couldn't help it. Just put it on my account. Charge it up, and I'll see if the Lord will make up the difference to you or if somehow I can pay it back. Let's have a song before we go eat. What do you say? Tonight, 5 o'clock, is youth night. The young people are going to be in charge of service. Of course, the Lord's in charge, but we're going to see, let the Lord use them. We need them. I'm rooting for the young people in this church, and I'm looking for more to come in and help them. I'd like to see this church so full of young people that's so on fire for God that it's changing Little Rock, Arkansas and everything else that's touching it. We got a youth meeting coming up, and if I could have the heads of every department right after dinner meet in the Leninger room just for a few minutes just to go over some of the things that we need to get ready for our youth meeting. This building will be packed to the walls July the 26th, 7th, and 8th with young people from all over the United States in the body of Christ. They'll be coming here to get something from God. Some of them will be coming here to find a girlfriend. Some will be here coming to find a boyfriend. But they will find something they weren't looking for. Some of them will find God. And they'll forget the real reason they thought they was coming. You see, we're tricking them into coming for those things. Anyway, we got to get ready for them. All right, and we need workers. We need helpers. Yes.
Do we have a work day coming up like this Saturday?
Yes. Well, I don't know. We need to see. There's so many men going to be gone to the campground. Well, I don't know if they'll be back Saturday, but the meeting's over late Friday. So, well, I don't know. There's so many gone. Who's going to be here Saturday? Raise your hand. See, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Well, yeah. Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about that in the meeting, and then we'll announce it tonight. Right now, we'll just tentatively have a work day Saturday at, say, 8:30. Yeah, it gets hot. So be here at 8:30. Yes, there's a lot of people don't get up as early as you do, Brother Durham. He gets up at 5 o'clock, see? Goes to work every day. But there's some of these guys, you can't get them out of bed, you know. But
let's just say, be here at 8:30 sharp, ready to go to work. Don't come at 9. You know, if we got to tell you 8 to get here at 8:30, we will, but we're going to trust you to be here at 8:30. All right. God bless you. Let's have a song right quick before we go eat. Is dinner ready? Dinner's ready. Grand practice at 4 o'clock. 2 o'clock, choir practice is canceled today. Sister Pryor sick.
He gave me a new life, something to live for. When I would have died, he gave me something to hope for. Now as I press toward the goal that lies before me, oh hallelujah, he gave me a new life. He gave me a new life, something to live for. When I would have died, he gave me something to hope
rest
for.
Your body.
Now as I press
toward
the goal.
Y'all, you know, experience works hope. And see, it increases hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. See, this process, it just keeps making your hope greater. Hallelujah. All right, I hope the dinner's not cold. Let's thank God for it. Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness. A good word of God. Oh, hallelujah. And your spirit, Lord. Bless us. Help us, oh God, in these services. Bless our food and our fellowship. We pray. Amen, amen. All right. God bless you.